5, and... No, not to Karen.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were on AP6.
No, we're on AP5.
So it's me.
Excuse me, Anne, were you going to...
But we are going to have, we're going to hear from Anna first. We just have some follow-up comments on our previous session on IFRS 7, so Anna, I'll pass the floor to you.
Thank you. Sorry for reverting back to the previous agenda item, but I had wanted to share this thought. I understand there's quite a lot of issues about sample size and the fact that we only have around 30 banks in the sample, which really doesn't seem that much. So I was thinking that maybe one way forward could be to concentrate potentially only on the face financials for these exercises starting this year, because in fact the sample size, so this will be what will have the biggest impact on the jurisdiction, which is going to contribute quite a lot in terms of sample size for IFRS reporting in XBRL in the very near future, so only in 1 year. So I would suggest that maybe if this exercise is taken forward, we concentrate on the face financials, and only when the sample size will get bigger, maybe we start looking more in detail at the notes. So to make the work, the concentrate effort when we're probably the outcome can be seen. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. So the staff will take all that on for IFRS 7. So we're going to have AP5 now, and this is continuing from our last meeting where we considered some of the supporting materials for taxonomy, and Vladek is going to take us through this session.
Thank you, Anne. As Anne mentioned, that will be a continuation of our discussions of the supporting materials for the IFRS taxonomy. So just to recap for new joiners, we already discussed a few of our materials like guides to using the IFRS taxonomy, and we were focusing our discussion about usefulness of those guides and cross-reference between the guides if we need to remove those cross-reference from those guides. The second point was regarding published documents. So, as you know, we every time we release the taxonomy, there are additional supporting materials like IFRS Taxonomy Illustrated in PDF, HTML, version information. So this comes in HTML version, so it's human-readable, and in XML, which is machine-readable format for versioning. So the difference between, you can see the difference between two versions of the taxonomy. And our bespoke product, which is the XIFRS. So this is XBRL content within our standards. But today we'll discuss mainly an update you on our proposed approach to supporting materials. So we gathered all of the all of the feedback from the previous session, and we would like to give you some update regarding this, what we decide. And the second thing is discuss, as you know, there was third subject that we meant to discuss further, but we ran out of time, so it was about feedback documents. It's about proposed taxonomy updates and webinars. So in terms of the update, as I mentioned, we receive feedback, we gather information about certain things in the taxonomy, and we, in response to the feedback, we would like to align selected supporting materials to improve consistency, improve few taxonomy namespaces. So this is very minor update, but it's still worth sharing this information. And thirdly, to discontinue specific supporting materials. So aligning supporting materials. So as you might know, the IFRS taxonomy illustrated in PDF contains multiple columns. And one of those columns are disclosure format and IFRS standard reference. Unfortunately, Excel spreadsheet at this point of time didn't have this, doesn't have this information. So we would like to add those two additional columns into the Excel spreadsheets, which will be more comprehensive and more consistent to what we publish in PDF. And the second thing is the versioning report, the human readable version of HTML document. So what we want to add there is add documentation and implementation labels. This will be done for the future updates to the taxonomy. And the third point is more about, okay, just to bring up discussion, and this is something to consider for the future. It's about versioning a report in Excel spreadsheet. So we don't have this material, but maybe since there was so much uptake from the last session about Excel that everyone is using Excel and it's quite easy to consume information from Excel, maybe we should provide versioning report in Excel format. The second thing that we would like to update you on is changes to the taxonomy namespaces. So we identify some of the minor, really minor things that we would like to update. And as you can see, some of our roles and namespaces within the taxonomy are missing the date attribute. We use this date attribute as a timestamp versioning control property. And as you can see on the left side, in the first column, that's the current namespace. So for example, for the full IFRS reporting dimensions, we don't use this date. And the new namespace will look like the one demonstrated on the right side, which is underscore and the date format. And the same for others, like similarly, IFRS for SMEs needs to get this attribute also. And thirdly, after gathering this information about what is the most useful material, what's the best material to use for users, the page count, the download count of those materials, we came up with a decision of discontinuing two of our materials. One is the IFRS taxonomy illustrated in HTML. So this particular material is only accessible through our EIFRS platform. And the second thing is to discontinue computer readable versioning report in XML. And here are the reasons why we would like to discontinue this. So these are, as I mentioned, they are least used supporting materials. And cost benefit of preparation and maintenance is it's really costly. In terms of producing versioning report in XML, since there are plenty of software available, it should be a part of basic feature of a software when you compare it to version of taxonomy and generate a report. This really shouldn't be provided by us. It's I think on the borderline of software that should provide such information. Redundant, so I'm talking here about IFRS Taxonomy Illustrated. We already published this document in PDF in Excel spreadsheet. So as you know, those materials are available and they are more useful and more utilized by our users. And the last point is the IFRS taxonomy illustrated in HTML might be phased out in the future due to our EIFRS platform. It might be deprecated as well. So the question is, do you have any comments on our planned changes to supporting materials? I'll open the floor to discuss this.
Perhaps to talk briefly about the versioning report on XBRL is perhaps one of the only stakeholders that used to make use of it, but have ceased in the last couple of years because there were some challenges. The versioning specification actually allowed for mapping of the old taxonomy to the new taxonomy, but that was never a feature that was actually adopted in the publication, which actually just shows what are the differences. As you say, can also be the output from a standard tool, and indeed that's what I do now in terms of using a third party tool to generate that report for our purposes. But it is very useful. Whilst that tooling is accessible to me as a specialist XBRL practitioner, I wonder if it's available widely and openly, given that I don't know of any open source or free tooling that generates those types of reports.
I think we can always revert back to ad hoc basis. So, for example, if there is any need for example, two custom differences between two taxonomies, we can always provide it, but the cost of benefit of providing this for each individual taxonomy release, I think it's too high.
I had just a couple questions. With the idea that the tool can replace a computer-readable XML, a question that just sort of comes to my mind is, will you be testing that, sort of running the reports and then comparing it with the output of that with what you think were intended to be the changes? So that, because a couple times we found some what looked like some differences between the different things we were looking at that was version, which is meant to be capturing the changes. And so it's just sort of a practical question. Is it, you're sort of running parallel, right? Sort of making sure that the output from the test, the software, is accurate, really reflecting what you meant to tell us were the changes. Does that make sense? I mean,
well, I think first.
And obviously, you can't do that across every single software, but is there some sort of sense that we'll know if we use the software that it really matches your intention?
But is this about third-party software that you're talking about?
Well, I think that's what you're telling us to go use, right, is that it'll create a report that's good enough.
So
I'm just sort of double-checking.
No. So basically XML.
And I'm not a tech person, so I and the team that members that aren't here.
I'll explain. I might
be embarrassing myself.
The XML was there just for the machine to ingest this information and provide this in a view of it or render this information in on tool. But the issue here is if you have XBRL processor, it should handle this kind of, it should generate this report anyway. And that's what we are using at the moment. We have XBRL processor that does the diffing for us. There's no human intervention in this. So the report is generated just for the sake of providing this to the community. And it was first generated and publicly available for the proof of concepts. But we are not removing the human readable version, which is more useful for version for our users, and it contains all of this mapping as well at the bottom of the human readable version, you can see the differences between the mapping also. But if you would like to create your own version report, you have this mapping in the versioning human readable version as well. You can also follow similar practice. In terms of the software, I'm not aware of any software that adopted versioning report specification to ingest this XML. Therefore, it's still like a proof of concept. We are generating this just for the sake of generating.
I had one more question, which would be to sort of raise our hand again for the Excel version of the version as being really useful.
Of the versioning report. Okay.
I think I've made this comment in the past. I find it difficult to comment on, helping advise on how to prioritise the development of all the guidance materials and all of the materials that you produce. They are very high quality. They are sort of awe-inspiring in their detail. I don't know to what extent some of those things are being produced entirely automatically, but I trust that that's where you're moving towards with continuous integration, mm-hmm. so that process is simple, because I think it's actually very important that you can limit the resources you're applying to those materials in order to be able to respond to an upcoming period in which there's more and more demands on this team from all of the stakeholders that are now really using the taxonomy in anger. So that means that in some respects the guidance materials are more important, mm-hmm. in many respects, but equally you just look at it and you think, gosh, this is a lot of work. Is that balance right? That's the only question that comes to mind.
Thank you.
I think our big concern in this area is looking at, as you say, we produce a lot of materials. It's very time consuming to produce those materials, and some of them, evidence suggests, are not used widely, and therefore as has already been said, there are alternative ways of getting to the same outcome, if you like, with the other materials that we've got. And so what we're trying to do is look to sort of cut back on areas where we've got duplication or it seems that it's likely to have a very little impact. Now, if you come round to us and you say, well, actually, no, this is absolutely essential, this is something that is really important and is likely to be widely used, then of course, you know, we wouldn't get rid of it, but these are the ones that we've identified that seem to be where we could potentially drop them and save ourselves some time and effort to focus on other important things that we need to do. But yet again, if anybody has concerns about any of these, please do shout.
This is Lou Roman on the phone.
People that are online, Lou or Bin La, do you have anything to add?
Yes. This is Lou. Discontinuing the IPI and HTML, I think that's a good idea. I know I've never used it, and I don't know that I know anybody who has. On the other hand, the ITI itself, I think, is very important to keep what you are keeping, because it's something that a new user that doesn't know a lot about the taxonomy, it's a great start to learn the taxonomy, especially if you don't have software and the skills to open up the whole DTS. So that's my input on the ITI.
Thanks, Lou. Bin La, anything?
Yep. I just want to provide a feedback to the team that we find your versioning report in HTML helpful, because that report actually provides the track change of the taxonomy compared with the previous version. In particular, when we have tools to analyze the taxonomy and compare it to taxonomy, but the tool only identifies if there's any new element added or any deprecated element. In the case when you make amendment to the label only, then I think your versioning report in HTML is very helpful, and we hope that you will continue to maintain that in the future.
You mean XML?
The version in report in HTML.
HTML? Yeah. Okay, yes, yes, it will still continue to produce the HTML version of this document. Okay, so move forward. So the second part of the presentation will focus on the third part that we didn't have time to talk about in the previous meeting. It's about the feedback documents. So as you know, we would like to discuss the supporting materials that we use to obtain feedback on proposed updates to the IFRS taxonomy. And in general, this is PTU, which is our proposed IFRS taxonomy update document. It's a PDF or Word document, and our webinars. So for PTU's updates, it helps us. It helps stakeholders to understand proposed changes. So we always highlight what has been changed in the taxonomy within this document, and it gives them some kind of overview about what will be introduced in the taxonomy. And this is available for any proposed update to the IFRS taxonomy, and it's available for all our stakeholders. So it explains the reasons behind the proposed changes, like changes to the standards, research that was done regarding common reporting practice, or improvements based on feedback received. So, as you know, you can locate such PTUs on our website, and usually it's in our project page where you can download this document. That's the example for our PTU that was done in 2018 for the IFRS taxonomy 2018 general improvements. And the second feedback document that we produce is slides and webcasts. This helps our stakeholders understand proposed changes to the IFRS taxonomy at high level, and usually we use visual aids to and slides to visualize what has been changed. And this is like a snapshot of what is changing within the proposed taxonomy update. And we do often publish this on annual basis, or we've selected proposed updates to the IFRS taxonomy. And again, location of this, it's in a project page. Usually it's either in update or in annual taxonomy subpage on our website. So to summarize, there are three questions. Maybe we'll just open floor for discussion for those three questions. So how can we encourage more stakeholders to provide feedback to us? As you know, we sometimes don't gather much of feedback. Maybe it's because we don't provide certain materials to our stakeholders, which would be more useful. And what prevents stakeholders from providing feedback? And second question is, are IFRS taxonomy update documents, slides, or webcasts needed and helpful? What can we improve? And the third one, do you have any other comments or and suggestions? So I will just open the floor for discussion.
I've been asking this question very recently peers in my organisation, who, as you might imagine, are familiar with financial statements more than they are with XBRL. We found it very easy to walk through some of the changes when the inline XBRL examples are published with a main edition of the taxonomy, because they bring the use of the taxonomy actually to life. But earlier proposed changes to the taxonomy aren't accompanied by those examples, so it often requires me or other members of my team to actually pull some of our model statements, for example, and tag them to illustrate that actually this is what the consequence of this change is going to be. So real life examples, which now we're pulling, becoming more commonly available to accountants and finance professionals, that they can quickly look at that illustrate that the actual tagging consequences of the changes to the taxonomy would be welcome.
So are you saying that we should provide more examples for the proposed taxonomy updates? Okay.
Yeah, very much so.
He's saying inline XBRL examples.
Inline XBRL examples.
But beyond what the board or the standard setting provides?
To include the scope of the changes to the taxonomy that are made. So, yes, in extent of, because especially around the changes to the taxonomy for common practice, that are not provided by the board.
That's always the question of if those examples drive a practice and they are not part of the IFRS standard setting process.
Although I think if we were proposing something that was actually part of common practice,
yes,
I think it would have already gone through that process of us saying that actually this is something that we think is consistent with IFRS and is common practice. So I think actually providing some sorts of illustrations of how we would envisage this changing and how this would be tagging, I think that there's no reason why we couldn't do that, and if it's going to be helpful, maybe that's something we should think about doing.
I was just going to say on that point, one of the ways you can communicate that is that the illustration you're providing is to communicate how you intend the taxonomy to be used. So this is how we have modeled what the new accounting standard requires, and not only are we providing this to you as an exposure document for your comment, but this is how we see it being implemented for your financial statement. So it's really it does a couple of different things, but the important communication component, if you will, is to really hold it out as this is how we see the taxonomy being used to meet this reporting requirement. So you're really focused on how the taxonomy is being used as opposed to it being an interpretation of the standard, being misinterpreted as an interpretation of the standard.
And just to double check, in which format do you provide such examples? Or
initially, they are provided in a PDF format, but we do provide all of these examples go into an implementation guide,
mm-hmm.
Taxonomy implementation guide, and they ultimately get into an inline document. So we publish our implementation guides in inline documents.
Okay, thank you.
With all sorts of disclaimers. Illustrative purposes only.
I've been encouraging the team to do the inline with at the proposal phase, but I've been getting a little bit of pushback from staff. Because it's really, really important that you do that modeling early on during the proposal stage. And they assured me that they do that.
Ashok? The observation I'm going to share with you is purely based on my personal, the observation when I meet quite a few regulators. And I think one of the stakeholders is the regulators. And I don't know how much, and I'm talking about regulators throughout worldwide, how much they really know about IFRS taxonomy. And that's where one of the things, because it really drives their own taxonomy, for example, on top of the IFRS taxonomy. Even though there are valid, the things available in IFRS taxonomy. So I think that will be one of the really good areas to look at it, how you can really liaise with the regulators, what IFRS taxonomy is all about. So, for example, this is a good example, and no personal thing. Anna actually attending as a part of regulator, and she understands now quite a lot of things about, you know, the IFRS taxonomy and so on and so forth. And pretty far-fetched idea. So knowing, you know, the what really IFRS taxonomy is all about, I'm pretty sure that they're not going to develop another parallel taxonomy for their own, you know, the disclosure kind of a thing. Probably there will be very limited number of, you know, the so-called element in their own taxonomy. So I feel that I think a lot of regulators, I don't think so. And I may be totally wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great, you know, the area to really have communication with the regulators of the world.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a little different opinion from Kaid, what Kaid said. But I think Kaid said that the you want the ISV to increase more the examples. I think that example is a little bit difficult because I have another opinion. You don't need to provide a lot of example exceeding to the your illustrated example in the standard itself. But we have been in Japan. We have been discussing with other users. The standard itself need more examples. But sometimes it's quite difficult to reading as the standards, how we have to disclose. But so I always thinking that this is not only taxonomy issues. So taxonomy example, for example, the inline XBR example can't be exceeding to be that you provide that some example that you're providing in the standard.
Okay.
So. And also the reporting requirement sometimes different from that standard requirement. So just I want to share that I am thinking of.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think on the feedback collection, this has been an ongoing issue for years, especially in relation to things like taxonomies. Our experience is, for instance, my experience is that it's very important to tailor what we would like to receive, what kind of feedback and from what kind of groups, because when we just basically generally fish for feedback from whatever group of stakeholders, typically the result is very, very mediocre. If we look for more specific feedback, like, for instance, software vendors implementing the taxonomy, to ask them whether this is the valid way of representing the IFRS statements or whether they encountered any issues, that's a very precise question that they can respond to. If we are asking what were the experiences of using the taxonomy, I don't think we should rely on filers not yet using the taxonomy, so I think we should more wait for when the taxonomy is used, or we should collect this kind of feedback only from filers who are actually using the taxonomy for creating the reports. Otherwise, it will be a very, very subjective view of the filers, and it may not be entirely helpful for us. And then when we are, for instance, looking for feedback, we may also look for feedback from specific groups such as regulators implementing the taxonomy. They have slightly different view from the market. So I think that we should be very precise about what we are requesting from whom and whether it is the right stage. For instance, as I said, filers and preparing for them, I slightly disagree with Chi here that we can produce thousands of examples. And it's going to be very, very time-consuming for a relatively small team to envisage what kind of issues can be and what kind of ways of use of the taxonomy there could be for illustrative examples other than the ones that are already introduced in the IFRSs. So I would maybe caution against that and would instead focus on getting feedback from the actual users and asking them by basically analyzing more the way how they use the taxonomy to represent in the financial statements.
Thank you.
Suzanne. So I have two thoughts. One, I'm speaking for Rakiva, one I'm speaking just for myself, so I'll make that really clear. I'm wondering out loud if the use is, and I'm thinking of users here because has worked a lot with end users and all different kinds, representing use cases that are really familiar to the end user. And I'm wondering out loud about the spreadsheet example from today. Those were just such wonderful representations of questions that users would want to interrogate the data, and it's informative to all the rest of us. So, oh, this is how they might use that, because they were actually very good examples. And then they're also something that you take to an end user, many of them, and they'd recognize this as a use case something they're trying to solve, and they can weigh in. And we saw this where they'd say, this would work really great. This solves a problem that we can't solve. Or, you know, actually, I'd really rather have this, that, or the other, have it represented in a different way. And it was something, again, very familiar. And I think people have kind of touched on that in different kind of other comments. And so I'm just sort of wondering about that spreadsheet, if it has multiple uses, multiple lives, for all, you know, it was useful here, and then you could take it to investors and analysts as well. And I think they, and versions of that kind of in the future. Mm-hmm. One of the other things we found was also being, especially if there was a change in the taxonomy, we had to show them end users before and after. This is what you're getting now. This is what it looks like. Here's what the change means for what would show up in your model. What do you think and how? So it was kind of a before and after picture, really got their attention, as well as just we have the, you know, have had these kind of wonderful iterative conversations where it's, we present them something that's coming from the standard setter, let's say, but then we can also say, what are your pain points right now that you can't solve? And then we'd go off and look and see if we, you know, ways to help them and think about that. So that's sort of the Workiva answer. I guess I want to go back to Ashok's point, because I think he really hits on something really, really important. And this is totally my personal view that, you know, I've talked to several regulators, and their view of and their understanding of the taxonomy changed completely when they started using it themselves, when they started trying to pull the data themselves. And I think that's true for standard setters as well. The board members, if they start trying to use the data, they'll understand things that they don't understand when it's just presented in a slide deck or even a spreadsheet. And in the last 6 months, I just speak with the regulator about them taking some of their actual, their monitoring of the market models based on the financial statements and starting to try to populate it. And they thought that was a really useful idea. And so, you know, they think there's more to the kind of the regulator side of the story of them using the data that for their own purposes, not just even abstract sort of use cases, but how might they use the data themselves to monitor the markets and help, you know, monitor what filers are doing and understand what's happening out there. So,
I can hear that there's more, I mean, something beyond supporting feedback documents. It's more about creating this relationship between regulator and ISP and trying to figure out what they can give us in terms of their experience, in terms of gathering the information using our their extension taxonomy or our taxonomy, basically.
I think it's a great idea. And I say that knowing it's not like you don't have enough to do. So put that, I get that your plates are filled.
Dick.
Yes, thank you. So what we made a lot of good experiences, Agile. We talked about it at the lunch. So we actually define our stakeholders and lead stakeholders and make a kind of retrospective, how we call it or how it's called, and it's a very direct possibility to get feedback on an ongoing basis. Yeah, and that's also a way if this runs more in a kind of agile mode, to get better feedback and direct feedback. So maybe just as a recommendation. It's not only very useful for software development, but also for getting feedback, like agile methodology or Scrum, how you call it.
across basically the whole organization.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Lewis. So my comment is a part of commiseration and encouragement. We struggle getting stakeholder feedback as much as anyone else does. But having said that, we have established strong ties with, you know, the friends and family group, right? And we have regular conversations with those individuals, those organizations that have a very strong interest in what we're doing, and it has a direct bearing on what they're doing. And that tends to be service providers and data aggregators predominantly. But there's some others in there, but that tends to be where we get most of the attention. And, you know, we've had, you know, since we started doing our proposed taxonomy improvements concurrent with the ASU exposures, we have gotten some comment letters that were on the ASUs that also included comments on the taxonomy, which was a wow moment. That was what we were looking for, right? We don't get a lot of those, but we have had them. And the hope is that we'll start to see more of that because we really want it to be considered in the context of the accounting standard, the proposed accounting standard. But again, I would encourage to continue down that path. It has had remarkable improvements for our process internally in terms of how we work with the project teams and just how much more effective we are. Our workload during the year has leveled out. I mean, there isn't as many ASUs going out as there used to be, but it still has just the leveling of effort because we're doing things throughout the years as opposed to trying to do it all at the end of the year. It's made a huge difference. So I would just say keep going in that direction because it really has made a very, very positive impact.
Just going to ask the online people, and then we'll need to conclude this session. So Binla or Lou, do you have anything in relation to slide 17?
No,
I do. I'll try to make it very quick. The update documents, the slides, the webcast, I think they're very important. I think they're very good. If you look at the slide 14, it's got...
Lou, let me just stop you for a minute. Binla, did you want to make any comments? I think you said no, so we're just going to mute you because there's a bit of noise or a bit of feedback.
He has to move.
Bin La, do you have any comments on slide 17?
No, I do not.
Could you mute your microphone, please? Thank you. Lou, back to you.
Yes. I was going to say, it is very tough to get more feedback from stakeholders. I think number two is very important to keep doing the documents and slides and webcasts. For example, slide 14, if someone uses that, I think even if you're not so knowledgeable, those types of documents help people to get to the point that they can provide feedback. So keep doing the documents and the slides and the webcasts because eventually it moves the needle of the number of people who are willing and able to give feedback. But the big problem is, to provide feedback, you have to be entrepreneurial and care a lot. And, how do you get more people into that bucket of caring so much that they give feedback? I think a lot of that is with the new ESEF mandate, that will move. It's tough for the IFRS Foundation to do that, to create interest, other than, as someone said, specific targeting of the people. And you said that, too, is a very good and effective way. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. Vladek, do you want to make any concluding comments?
So basically, we'll gather all of these feedbacks regarding the documents. If there is any further comments you would like to send us, we are more than happy to receive them through email. And if there is anything that we want to discuss further, we'll bring it to another face-to-face meeting.
Thanks, Vardy. Thanks, everyone.